Thanks for listening to Confession of Game Dev Podcast. This is part two of our review of the PlayStation 4 and everything that Sony showed at the review. We got really long-winded, but excited about all the games and interested in everything that they showed. And thanks for listening.
Let's list them all, and then we'll go back and talk about the ones that we want. So, first they talked about Knack,
yes,
which is a completely new IP.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Razor is Katamari Damacy meets meets a brawler.
Sure.
You know, and so you start off as I thought it was a really cute little character. He's basically a orb, is his chest.
Draw pieces to himself and increase his size.
Right. And so he starts off as like a can for a head, two sticks for legs, and two sticks for arms.
Yep.
But he can morph into different sizes. And so it looked like you could be going around very stealthy as a small little guy in an office, or you can be as big as a city fighting other characters as big as you.
And they showed some great Vita, footage, plays on Vita. They showed some Vita footage of him playing, and so there's actual gameplay there. And we haven't seen anything else of this game, so I have not a lot to judge on.
There was one comment that they were like, the reason this game's going to be someone called it Vector Man, and I'm like, done, guys.
Oh, Vector Man.
But this game is going to show off the tech, because that's a whole bunch of freaking particles that are constantly in motion that make up this thing.
And seamless.
What was the Force Unleashed, the first one? There's a level in the junkyard, and there's these characters that use this guy uses force powers to create these giant monsters that you have.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And all the pieces have like a little electricity binding them, but they're all parts separately.
Yeah.
So imagine that, but the guy's made up of hundreds of thousands of particles.
The thing is,
right?
He's a bunch of particles that aren't like a single model.
Right.
You know, they're being assembled into a model.
At all times.
And they can constantly be pulled apart and put back together in different shapes, which is different than, you know, most characters are made. They're polygons and you're whatever.
Right.
And you have a certain polygon limit because, you know, a computer can only handle so much at once, and you have to set your textures properly and set them all up. You look at, like, we were talking about Borderlands 2. You look at the Borderlands 2 characters. They're pretty high res until you actually start looking at the actual in-game characters.
Yeah.
And they're really cool looking.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But it's a lot of texture work, and it's very artfully done. It's
right.
Very clean. This is a whole bunch of really detailed pieces all on screen at once, all doing whatever the hell they want.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting tech. It'll be interesting to see if it's actually fun to play. But at the same time, it's really cool to watch.
Yeah. Well, and I in my mind, I'm like, oh my gosh, Katamari Damacy as a brawler. That sounds epic. You know, everything that Katamari is all about in a new, different type of genre sounds fun.
Interesting.
One reviewer I saw said that it looked like Toy Story graphics.
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
It was very
much stylized, but it was very much that you know, early CGI look and feel, but for that to be the standard game renderings is pretty cool.
Right.
You know, it's still very pretty. It wasn't realistic, and I was glad.
I think it was great.
Right.
Killzone.
Killzone.
It's just Killzone.
It's Killzone.
I don't want to talk about this for very long. I like Killzone. Don't get me wrong. It's really it's a fun game. It's really well done. It's really pretty. It's always been pretty. It's always been really well done.
Yeah.
It's still just a shooter. And it didn't, like, the thing that bothered me about this a little bit was that it didn't show me anything that, I mean, it looked better, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But what it showed me was that the games still look the same.
Yeah.
Okay? It looks better, but it's still played exactly the same. And it's both a comfort to me, because I do like shooters,
uh-huh.
You know? But at the same time, I wasn't impressed. I was like, it's okay.
Yeah,
it's
and something. So after Killzone, there was about 10 other games, and I kept asking myself, why does this need to be on a PS4? Why can't I just do this on a PS3?
Yes.
And that game, it'd be a little less quality.
Killzone's just an IP thing.
It is.
This is their shooter.
It is. And that one, I'm like, okay, pass, I don't care.
As an aside, I'm really excited for the Vita Killzone game. Killzone Mercenary, I think it's called.
Oh, okay.
I'm just really excited for it. It looks awesome.
So then the next one, and at this point, there was a lot of people in the room, but also in on Twitter that were saying, who the heck are they presenting all this to?
Yes.
Who the hell is this audience? Because was it investors? Was it the gamers? Was it the developers?
Like it was kind of all over the place.
Yeah, and it kind of did. And that's what this next session, because they go, hey, here's Drive Club.
Now, I knew Ashley was really excited for this game. Because this is her type of game. Like, she's a car nut.
Yeah, she wants 8 million poly.
My favorite car game was Beetle Adventure Racing for the N64.
By the way, it was epic, I'll tell you. Thank you. San Francisco Rush was up there, yeah, but Beetle Racing.
Unfortunately, this is not a car podcast. So, like, okay, let me a little background for me, at least. I used to be really into import cars. Okay.
Physical or games?
And physical. Okay. And games. Like, that was kind of my gateway into, like, the Need for Speed series.
Okay.
Need for Speed Most Wanted was one of my favorite games, specifically because I like cars. I mean, I still like cars. I love, the Fast and the Furious movies, the new ones, especially. Yeah. They're getting better. Awesome. But I like watching the speed and, you know, the stuff. I think it's fun. And so I appreciated the detail. At the same time, I don't play games to emulate that, to emulate reality to that extent.
Yeah.
I don't like super realistic physics in a racing game.
Mm-hmm.
My kind of racing games are like Burnout.
Yeah, it's like, I want to flip that car 8,000 times.
Check it out. I'm doing a barrel roll and landing on this while running through a billboard. It's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I grinded the bridge with my car, did a 360 and landed it and kept driving.
Yep.
That's my kind of racing games.
Yeah, and I felt like it was nothing but just content for car porn.
It's vehicle porn, and
there was someone in there that he's actually got pedals underneath his desk. Like, he's got all this hardware to play. And he's like, now, wait a minute. I'm like, oh, that's right. Okay, tell me. You know, and I was like, I don't want to be offensive, but I gotta know, why the hell would anyone want this game? Yeah. Why is this debuting as the second game or third game at PS4? And he's like, trust me, there's people that totally dig this.
I think, honestly, that's it. It was in place of Gran Turismo. Gran Turismo has been the PlayStation flagship for racing games for a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, since like the PS1. Okay.
And Drive Club is a new IP, right?
Drive Club is new. As far as I know, I've never heard of that before.
Okay.
But I think it was just we are doing car games, don't you worry.
Yeah.
Let me show you how sexy we can make car games look. This is good.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. And so that, I think that's what it was for. It's not necessarily we haven't forgotten you guys.
Yeah.
I know, you know, stick with us. So that's my thought. I don't think it was for anything else.
Okay. So Infamous, Second Son.
Oh. Can we talk about this presentation?
Oh my gosh.
This is hilarious.
Okay. So I was super excited as he was talking about this.
When he's stating facts. So, like, what did he do?
He started talking about airport security. We spend more time, you know, we spent like 750 lifetimes standing in line or something.
I love the statistic.
He was talking about like how many cameras they are and how we're always being watched. There's one camera.
In England, there's one camera for every 14 people,
yeah,
population wise. And I'm like, oh crap.
Now, the thing that bothered me is that he talked about this, and I, in my head, like, not realizing. I forgot that Ubisoft was doing Watch Dogs. We're going to have a Watch Dogs later.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'm going, oh, it's Watch Dogs.
Well, I thought this is
Sucker Punch. What am I thinking? And then he goes, and then what if those people who were against the system had superpowers?
and there was a cumulative sigh. Everyone in the room was like, what?
You might as well have spit in the audience face. What if we completely derailed the entire presentation? Like, what if? And
and it's so funny because he's talking about, you know, that we've gone too far and everyone knows exactly what you're doing at every second of the way. Our freedom is caged. And you're like, oh my gosh, is that what it's really like? I don't want to, you know, like, he was getting kind of deep and
yeah.
He's like, but what if they had superpowers?
Oh my gosh.
Too? And he's like, But no, here's the thing. He didn't say superpowers. He distinctly said superheroes.
Oh, did he say superheroes?
I thought he said superheroes. Okay. I could have sworn, but either way, it was bad.
Now, okay. Infamous is a wonderful series.
Yeah.
The thing, but what made Infamous great was not the superpowers. I mean, okay.
kind of.
Superpowers were awesome.
Okay.
But what made it great was that you felt, at least in the first one, you felt like what you were doing had weight, you know?
Okay.
You were making choices, you know, and it had some opportunities for making choices. How you treat people made a difference, and you could read as far into it as you wanted to, or not do it at all if you wanted, and just screw around and kill people if you want.
Yeah.
Okay. But how you interacted with people and interacted with the city affected everything. That was the idea. The second game, it kind of went the same way, but, I mean, there's a whole progression system that I'm not a huge fan of, but whatever. Okay. With this one, it feels like, you know, they're trying to go a little deeper. You're this underground superhero, but you're a freaking superhero.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like if Batman had superpowers, you know, he'd kill anybody. You know, he'd have the potential to kill anybody. You know, bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, I have super speed and super strength. And like they were showing the demo, he has like super everything.
Oh my gosh. You know? But he's got a chain around his wrist.
So Kratos is an infamous now.
Yeah. Well, no, by the end of that.
It was God of Infamous Prototype.
God of Infamous. Yeah. Oh gosh, it looks so prototype. It was driving me crazy.
Well, the entire thing, like, you didn't know it was Infamous, other than you knew it was Sucker Punch, but you're like, what is this game? And by the end of it, they finally say Infamous Second Son. And you're like, was this God of Infamous Prototypes or what?
Because I don't know.
Yeah, it was all over the board.
I imagine they have some time to kind of retool that. I'm sure they're going to read some of the reactions that they got and go, okay, we kind of are not hitting our mark. Or maybe they are. Maybe that's the exact mark we were going after, and so they nailed it.
Yeah, well.
But at the same time, I was like, because honestly, between Prototype and Infamous came out the same year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I liked Infamous more. Okay, I thought it was a better quality game. It was more interesting, and it had, you know, the free running mechanics were really cool, and you could, by the time you could float around, it was like, oh, this is awesome. Look at all this cool stuff I could do. Huh. And the second one, they had all kinds of great navigational. You could do the ice jumps, and you could, Spider-Man your way over to buildings a little bit with electromagnets, all kinds of cool stuff. It was fun. It was really fun to be in that world. And so I trust their gameplay, chops, but the storytelling chops, I think, need a little work.
Well, and let's go into that, because the next two I thought were really substantial.
Sure.
In terms of storytelling.
Cool.
Right? Jonathan Blow and then David Cage. And boy, when David Cage got up, Andrew was livid. He got up, and I was like,
let's go over Mist first.
Oh.
I mean Witness.
You mean Witness? Oh, no, you didn't. And yes, we did, because good heavens.
Okay, so
Jonathan McGlows gets up. Well, before they showed any of the games, they showed a developer thing.
Yes.
And let's rewind for a sec, because they kept saying it every now and then, like, we're developer-founded, we're developers in mind, that's all about the developers. And they said it like three or four times. It was kind of, you had to pay attention for it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'll believe it when I see it, because let's be honest, this is PlayStation.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to make a game for PlayStation? You know, it's not an easy thing, especially if you're an indie developer.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Jonathan Blow, well, they showed Tim Schafer.
Yes.
And he, and all of them, like, it was like canned meshes, like, wow, social interactions on a console would be interesting. And it's like, thanks, Tim. All right, we're out of here.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Don't you dare think about making one of your stupid games for our console. But yeah, I made that up. I don't know if that's real. Probably is.
I love Tim Schafer.
Yeah, I love that guy,
He's
too.
Such a, I love listening to him. But he didn't have his beard.
He did it.
That'd be crazy.
Well, and then Jonathan Blow cut his hair off.
Put your beard back on.
And then Blow normally had hair, right? He totally went... You're just shaving head, shorn there.
It was a little weird.
And he's on there, and he's like...
mites or something. Other.
What's that?
He had ticks or something in his head.
Oh, what? Lice?
Really? I don't know. They had lice.
Oh, yeah, are you serious?
I was like, you're going through all the different parasites that I don't even want to think about.
He had bedbugs. I just saw it. Anyway, he had lice. Okay, anyway.
But anyways, yeah, I mean, so he's up there, and he's like, I like social games too, blah, blah, blah. You know, it was kind of a really corny video, but then they go... And now Jonathan Blow, I'm like, holy crap, they're bringing him on stage? And he gets up and he's like, I've been working on this game called Witness, and guess what? I partnered with Sony, and guess what? You get to check it out. And it's like, oh my gosh.
So exciting.
Yeah, no one has seen Witness for 3.5 years, and this is like, wow, this guy made Braid. He kind of was a dingbat when people started commenting on his game, but...
But I love Braid.
But we love Braid, so yeah, we're not going to say anything about it. And he gets up... And like 10 minutes later, we finally start... And like, he just wouldn't shut up.
Well, it was just a kind of a... But the thing is, that shows everything of the entire
like, that, program. No one that, could shut okay, up, everyone, except for the guy who was from Japan who couldn't speak English.
That was so rude.
I liked him too.
He said everything like, to the point, here's our demo, go.
We yeah. like this. We think you will like this.
Check it out.
Press play.
He was so sincere, and it's just like,
it was
what?
Awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
Anyway, like, so.
Blows. You learn concise from that guy.
All right, so Witness, so, 30 seconds, tell us what you thought of it.
It was kind of, there were puzzles, I think. I don't know. Okay, so the thing is, like, all I saw were little lines connecting from one end to the other, and I did not understand how it was a puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're on this island all alone, you gotta solve these puzzles, figure out, and I was like, wait, wasn't that Mist, though?
Yeah.
Like, it seriously was. It's all we could think
Mist
of.
Mist was, well, it looks like Mist.
It looks like Mist.
It looks like a 3D version of Mist with random maze, like, random small mazes in it that are like, you know, a 5-year-old could figure out.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like,
we did not know, you know, what these
not to be insulting, that maybe there's more to it than that. Maybe we're just like, we don't see.
But it just was, know, not presented that way.
Yeah. I just wasn't a fan of the trailer.
From what we got of it, it's like you trace your finger from one point to another, like, and that's it.
I'm not against touch gaming, okay? I'm a fan of Android games when they're fun, or, you know, and iPhone games because I don't have one, okay? But
oh gosh! Oh goodness!
I just don't have an iPhone. I don't have an iPhone or an iPad, so that's just the way it is. But I'm a fan of, you know, touch gaming. That's cool, as long as it's done well.
Yeah,
you know, for example, Mortal Kombat on the Vita is a blast.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
It's fun because like you're doing fatalities with like touch things, and you're,
oh no,
you know,
way.
And so like, and you're doing like. They have a version of Fruit Ninja, except it's like heads floating and you're like cutting them off. There's all kinds of
in Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, so getting
Mortal
that.
Kombat's great. But
well, Where's My Water is a great touch
yeah,
and puzzle it's game, right?
I don't have anything to touch gaming, but like this didn't sell it just didn't sell me on the idea of what am I doing in this game?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like I was looking at Dear Esther, except we added crossword puzzles on it.
Yeah, which was Molly Dew.
Oh, right, yeah, Molly Dew.
The Twitter Molly Dew account is like, Jonathan Blows inspired me to make a Mist-like game where you travel around and to unlock new areas, you have to play crossword puzzles. And I'm like, oh, no, that's exactly what his game is. You can't take that.
I'm going to give Blow the benefit of the doubt for now because yeah. We don't know enough about it. Okay, I can't make a judgment, but from what it looks like there's not a lot of gameplay there.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned about that. But that's just whatever.
And
you know, it's indie. The reason he was there is because you fill the indie quota on a console, on the PlayStation console.
Yes.
You know, and because and this is marketing. This is an interesting marketing ploy. XNA was just canceled.
Very interesting.
Okay, XNA is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Indie developer is developing for the PlayStation.
What does that mean?
You think that's subtle? Probably not.
No.
Okay. That's my thought. But I wasn't in that meeting, so.
Yeah, no. You know, and I wouldn't doubt it for a second. And the other thing was, the other indie company, that game company, that did Flower Flow mm-hmm. and
Journey,
we were talking this with a designer and he could not understand for the life of him why Journey had the 6-axis control. And he's like, this is just stupid. It made sense for Flower. Why the heck did you put it in Journey? Just give me the sticks, right? And it wasn't until he read an article that said that game company signed a contract with Sony that said, you must use our 6-axis control because we can't get anyone else to do it.
Yep.
So you guys are suckers and didn't read the fine print, and now you're stuck with it. That last part's speculation. But
that's not an official Sony statement.
No, but I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't be surprised if there was something that was like, all right, Jonathan, we'll give you Sony. We'll let you put it on here. You'll be hot stuff. And you know, you already are, but we'll make you even more hot stuff in the indie community. But you got to use that touchpad because we have no idea how the heck to use this. We just saw Ouya have it, and we got to get one now. You know, I mean, that was a little cynical at the end, but
so like I said, I've been playing the Vita. I like the idea of touchpads.
Yeah,
I think it's a great way to add more functionality to us. Like the controller hasn't changed.
No,
you know, since the PlayStation 1. You know, even the Xbox controller, the initial Xbox controller, was still, it's just the same number of buttons configured and slightly differently.
Right. Yeah.
The Xbox 360 controller, yes, they moved the analog sticks, some like that way, some like the PlayStation way, it doesn't matter.
They made the analog sticks this time are a little wider.
Well, but the thing whatever. Is, like, none of that is essential.
Yeah.
You know, it's ways to make it more comfortable, whatever, but the fact is the touchpad adds more to your not tactile, but it adds more to your experience.
I'll give you tactile input though.
You know,
I think you'll get some tactility in there.
I think so too. But it's just I think that's just a way to expand. Oh, we need another button. Oh, we have one. It's right there. You know, we have a whole feature set right here because it's a touchscreen.
Yeah.
You know, this is possibilities.
It's exciting.
It's offering new things.
All right, then David Cage goes up there and causes the biggest uproar I have seen on Twitter for quite a while.
Now, okay, David Cage, we talked about him a little bit.
Right.
Like last time, I think.
Yeah, Heavy Rain.
Andrew made the comment. I don't want to throw Andrew under the bus, but...
Let's do it. I'll do it.
His response was, and then David Cage, games should be more like movies.
and you know what was funny, though? He wasn't off. I mean, like, those first 5 minutes when he's talking, he's just like, think of the cinematic experience. Oh, and I was
sweet. What made me laugh was behind him on the screen, the words like, emotion and interactivity.
Oh, no, and he was talking about pantomimes. Yes. And silent films, and like a silent film is running behind.
And the Great Train Robbery came up.
Oh my goodness!
You know, and I was like, you know, the Great Train Robbery.
Yeah, like, it's the first, the epic.
One of the first feature films, quote unquote, ever made.
Yeah.
Silent film is a real big deal. but the fact is, and this is something David Cage has gotten heat for a long time, is that games aren't movies. They're not meant to be movies. They shouldn't be movies.
Yeah.
And the thing that he showed was facial features and high poly emotional renditions.
30,000 try high poly.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
The thing is, the technology is great. But as I was talking to, I think it was Tristan.
Yeah.
We were talking about L.A. Noire.
Yeah.
L.A. Noire already has emotional responses. I never sat there going, I mean, there's a couple of times you reach Uncanny Valley, you're like, okay, that's almost too real. But if you ever get a chance, look up the L.A. Noire blooper reel.
Which is really funny.
It's hilarious, okay? But it's because these people are actors who are playing these characters, and the computer would continue to film them even when they screwed up. And they rendered out those cutscenes even though they screwed them up.
Right.
Like, okay, you screwed up. But it's funny, so you watch this, like, you watch a Cole... you know, Detective Cole sitting there going, oh, so sorry, screwed up. You know,
he sticks his tongue out.
These digital characters, you know, it's not a pre-rendered, it's just what the actors happen to be doing. And they're doing these funny things, and you relate to that. You're like, that feels very human.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So David Cage is like, okay, now we have the technology to do this thing that we've already done.
Wanted to do, wait, what? Yeah.
What's the game?
Yeah. You know? Well, and he shows an old man's head.
Yep.
And it's absolutely brilliant.
He did throw in the Ellen Page.
Yes.
What was the Ellen Page?
Well, that's from the game.
More and more polys.
Beyond whatever.
Beyond Good and Evil?
No. Is it Beyond?
I forgot.
Beyond is in there.
The Ellen it's their Page upcoming, game.
But I call it the Ellen Page game because Ellen Page is the star of the game. It's, I don't know.
Well, what was that
another movie thing.
Maybe I missed that reference.
Remember they had a chart of...
when he was just demonstrating how it's 30,000 polys now, and that's because they're rendering out higher Ellen
and
Page.
Higher and higher.
They made Ellen Page in that game. It looks just like her.
Yeah. Okay. But, yeah, I mean, it's like, that's really cool tech, but I don't care. You know, when I'm seeing Minecraft and we have people enjoying Minecraft, and that's four polys.
Again,
six polys.
David Cage has been the unfortunate, not the unfortunate. He's been stuck in the middle of ludology versus narratology for a long time.
Yeah.
Not him specifically, but like he's brought up, whenever you talk about narratology, you're going to talk about David Cage.
Yeah.
You know, because Heavy Rain, you talk about, dang it, what was that other game?
It starts with an O.
I know, I forgot
the name. Oaken,
there's a few of them. He did several. But it's in progressively less and less game, progressively more and more narrative.
Yeah.
Which is okay, but at what point do you reach, you know, it's no longer a game anymore. You're just...
It's just one long
I'm watching a movie.
Experience.
Yeah.
You know, and if I wanted to do that, I can sit back much more comfortably than instead of holding a controller and pushing X now and again.
Yeah. Which was interesting, and I think the really interesting thing was, I was not kidding, Twitter was lit up and everyone started using the hashtag Polygon Tyranny. And everyone's just like, we don't want to see this anymore. This was game developers. These are, you know, and there were some game scholars too, and they were just like, we're fed up with this. Thanks, Dave, but I you know, I appreciate the
fed
tech,
up with
but
what?
Well, that notion of it needs to have more polys to be a better experience.
Yes.
Right? And all of a sudden it comes back to ludology versus narratology. It's like, we don't need better story. We don't need better storytelling. We need better gameplay. And that was
the crux of his argument that bothered me was that poly count somehow creates a better emotional impact.
Oh, yeah. And that's bullcrap.
The only thing that I could think of was Walking Dead.
But that's cel-shaded.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Walking Dead, okay, you have an emotional connection with Clementine. For those of you who haven't played Walking Dead...
Spoiler alert.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but Clementine is a character in the game. Very, very early on, she is the crux
of... She's the little girl, right?
She's the little girl. She's the crux of your entire experience.
Yeah.
Is this little girl. And, you know, how you react and how you interact with her and with other people is... will reflect on her actions and her attitudes towards other players, or to other players, other characters in the game. And so your choices really do matter. It's a cel-shaded game.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need 30,000 polys to share emotion.
Now, I'll give you an argument for David Cage. When I make choices in there, every now and then you choose something, and at the top it goes, exclamation mark. So-and-so noticed that you made that decision, which is kind of a cheap shot.
Well, sure.
Kind of a cheap shot. But it's like, it's a game, I don't care. Let's keep moving on.
That's the difference.
Okay.
Okay, for me. Okay. What's the difference between X button is floating above their head? X! Ah. Sure saved her from that one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know, circles!
Pushing this circle as fast as I can!
I almost
got eaten by a zombie.
Oh man, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's like,
I get it. Yeah,
it's using the medium the way it should be, done. Now, granted, you know, Walking Dead is not a complicated game.
No,
the actual narrative structure in it is amazingly complicated.
Right.
But the actual like gameplay is not. It's not like I need to be super skilled to play this game. But if you want emotional impact, you could do. It's one of the best.
You
emotional
can do plenty
games
of things.
Ever. Okay, it's really interesting. There's plenty of possibilities without going, hey. This game would, I mean, Walking Dead, I personally submit, would not be better if it looked realistic.
Okay, so here's another fight for you that's less narrative, very much more gameplay oriented. Okay. Journey.
Yeah.
I cried at the end of Journey.
What?
Jerk! Why do I even tell you anything anymore?
No, I'm just kidding.
That was a very...
I'm sure Brandon probably teared up too. He's not gonna see
it. Yeah, he's not.
I know.
No, are you kidding me? He was totally in the zone trying to kill his squad mate.
It's like, he's still alive!
You got farther than I did!
That?
How'd you get farther than I did?
I have a story. You know, keep going. No, but I do have a journey story.
But that face... I mean, the character is a cloak.
Mm-hmm.
The character... the only thing I ever see of his face is a black, you know, plane with two dots on it.
Yeah.
That's his face. So you're telling me that I'm not allowed to have an emotional connection with him. And my, dude, I was getting, choked up.
It's insulting because what it you know, you go back to, you have to Commander Shepard. You go back to any character that you've had an emotional connection with. You go back to the Final Fantasy cast.
Oh my gosh, Eris, how dare you?
Okay,
right?
All the emotional connections that players have had with different characters over the course of gaming. And you say, you know what? Your experience was not good enough because you didn't have 30,000 polys on your character.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what, you know, it feels so insulting to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it just suddenly means, you know, it feels like, oh, sorry, those connections you had before, they're not real.
Yeah.
You know, now we can do what you think you were experiencing.
Yeah, well, and I would love to challenge him and say, fine, you go back and you give me that moment when Sephiroth kills Eris, and you make it so that I feel it more than I did then.
Yeah.
Because I call shenanigans every time. There's no way. And you know, I mean, there was two poly counts. There was the rendered videos, and then there was the in-game.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the in-game was like 42 polys, right? They were very, very low poly. But, that moment is the higher res polys. But I could have still felt it, and I probably still would have felt it if it was the low polys. Because the setup and everything around that, it wasn't about the polys. It just wasn't. It was about the story that was told
I could give you a couple of examples. spoiler for Metal Gear Solid 4. Okay,
dude.
It's okay. You're not gonna mind. You're not gonna mind either. Okay, so spoiler for this. So let's fast forward a little bit if you want to avoid spoilers for a couple of games right up fast.
Yeah.
But Metal Gear Solid 4, the run through the final microwave tunnel. Uh-huh. There's a tunnel where, you know, Snake is just desperately crawling his way through the microwaves bursting.
Oh my.
The whole time. And his like suit is getting torn apart. And all you can do is tap the circle button. That's it.
But does it matter if you tap it faster or slower?
I don't think so.
Oh.
But you do because you're watching him struggle. And so you as a player are interacting with him, pushing as fast as you can. And you see a montage of all the other battles that are going on around, you know, outside of it as Snake is making this lonely crawl through this tunnel.
Uh-huh.
And it's brutal and it's powerful and it's a really, it's an emotional experience that you go through. And if you've been with this character for so long, this is the fourth game in the series, you know, or whatever, you know, and you've been with him for a long time. You've gone through this whole, you know, narrative with him and you're just like, jamming on it. You can make it, dude. You can get to the end of that thing. And like, that's an emotional, powerful thing. Okay. You didn't need more polys. You know, it's not about the polys. It's about the game.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a great looking game. Don't get me wrong. It's beautiful. It was a showpiece game for the PlayStation 3, but the emotion comes from the narrative structured around it and about connecting with the character.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not with the polys.
Yeah.
Okay. The same thing. God of War 3. And spoilers. God of War 3, you get to the end of this, and you're fighting Zeus. Okay. That's the epitome because you're trying to battle Zeus, you fight him. You get to the very end of this thing. And again, it's just funny because it's just a one button press.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you finally beat him down and you start punching him in the face.
Okay.
At the end of this thing, you're like, arr! And the game will let you punch until you're done punching.
So you just keep pushing that button.
Yes. And you'll hear him just hit and hit and hit, and the screen is just filling with red and blood.
Oh,
and it's
just
filled completely up until you can't see anymore, but you can keep punching until you're tired of punching him. Okay. And that's a way of giving the player, you know, like, okay, that's your connection with this guy. He's the source of frustration you've had for the past two games.
Yeah.
Three games, really. You know, this is the source of all of it. Let it all out, man. You just go
for it. Tell me how you feel.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, like, it's really great. And then those are just two examples of, like, it's not about the polys. It's about crafting the experience correctly.
Yeah.
And so,
and that's a game. I mean, Metal Gear Solid is a visual experience that you really feel. Very, very minimal on gameplay because what you do really doesn't matter. You know, pushing that button.
Yeah.
Arguably.
Yeah, during that experience.
But that experience that you have with Kratos is all about gameplay.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a visual element, obviously. There's an audio element with everything, but, mm-hmm. but the fact that you get to decide what happens based on what your input occurs is, you know, kind of contests narratology altogether.
It's just like, I mean, crafting a great experience is a great experience. The problem that I have with, had with Heavy Rain, and that I imagine, I don't know yet, with this new Ellen Page game, I have a problem, is that the gameplay emotion, when you're trying to force emotion, you lose sight of it. You lose track of it. It's like, a lot of people like soap operas, right?
Okay.
A lot of people like soap operas, even if they're cheesy, and even if they're ridiculous.
Hey, my old babysitter used to watch Days of Our Lives.
People enjoy those.
And you hold your face on Days, because I tell you what, Stefano deserves everything he gets.
But what I'm
don't
saying,
ask me why I know
I'm
that.
Sorry. What I'm saying is that, like, people love that kind of stuff. They love emotion, but they love watching other people go through that.
Yeah.
Okay. When the soap opera became Heavy Rain, okay, I was just like, you've lost me.
Huh.
You know, the whole press X to Jason meme is a very, you know what that is, right?
No.
You ever play Heavy Rain?
I have yet to play it.
You played Heavy Rain? I'm the only one.
You're the only one.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
Heavy Rain, there's a whole,
I just barely got a PlayStation.
Look up Press X to Jason if you're interested.
All right, we'll look it up afterwards. Maybe I'll link to it or something.
Yeah.
Because I'm feeling we need to keep moving.
Let's finish this up.
All right, so Media Molecule, we could totally. I wish we could spend another 30 minutes on it.
I love that.
You get the point.
Media Molecule, you guys rock.
Right now.
We love you, so let's move on.
All right, Capcom gets up. Yoshihiro Ono, the CEO, he gets up and he says, check out this new engine. This is the new game.
Mm-hmm.
It looked pretty. I mean, it was pretty, and again, I wasn't following very well because like, okay, I'm done with graphic upgrades.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what you're bringing to the gameplay. It looked cool. There was a dragon.
It looked like Dragon's Dogma HD.
Yeah.
Or like HHD or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's just bigger.
HDD.
Yeah. HDD. Yeah. 3HD.
Double D.
Double
D. Double D.
All right. So, good for them. Hope we see something Square Enix. I don't want to talk to you because obviously you didn't bring anything to the table. So why should I discuss
Square Enix what you showed us last thing month? This last time.
Oh man, that was
and
bad.
Like the CEO?
We're announcing later.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was.
I forget what his name is. He comes up and goes, I work on Final Fantasy. We're going to have an announcement about a new Final Fantasy game. Thank you. Bye.
At E3. See ya.
Peace. Thanks, buddy.
But Square Enix.
But at least he was concise. He's like, hey, Final Fantasy, at least it E3, wasn't
like
I'm out.
At least it wasn't a like 5-minute explanation of that. We really know that people like Final Fantasy, so therefore, we're going to talk about it for a while, and then guess what? We're going to have an announcement at E3. Yeah. It's just like, boom, boom, done. Yeah. Okay, cool, whatever. And you're not ready for stuff, whatever.
I'm going to rap on Jonathan Blow, because he goes off and he just keeps talking, and he's like, we want to distill the experience of this into this and down to this and down to that, and it was like, dude, and this is a problem that I've always had with him, and this is the problem I think I have with him, is he doesn't let us experience it for ourselves. He has to explain to us, and as a fine artist, this is the biggest pet peeve. It's the thing that everyone amateur does, is you have your show, and people are actually positively responding to it, and you go, oh, well, let me tell you what it means. And it's like, no. That's not how this works.
But the thing is,
I want to know what it means to me. Shut up and let me explain.
What you need to keep in mind, though, there's a reason why DVD extras are popular. Okay.
For movies?
Yes.
Okay.
Having the creators of a project sit there with the with your film, you know, and explain to you, this is what we're thinking about in this shot. We like this idea of doing this, etc. Okay, that's powerful. Simply because, you know, people love to get into the mind of the person who's creating something, and that's I think why indie development has done so well, is because with our big development team, sometimes like you go into, you look at an EA. Let's talk Dead Space again. EA. Not Dead Space the game, but like the Dead Space development team is huge. Sure. Hundreds and hundreds of people.
Sure.
You've lost that personal connection with those people.
Okay.
The reason, and films are no smaller. Films are hundreds of people working on a movie.
Right.
But at the same time, you get to talk to the director, and we've put him out as the poster boy. He's the vision of everything. The director, the main actor, another actor. Awesome. Let's have these guys talk about the movie. And talk about their process. Jonathan Blow, he's an independent developer who's now going into mainstream stuff, you know.
And he's still trying to play the
indie. And he's an indie. You know, he's still like, let me explain to you what my process is here. But unfortunately, I mean, his presentation notwithstanding, that's...
Yeah. All right, I get your point. However, when was the first time you ever watched a movie, you turned on audio commentary?
Yes, sure enough. No, I completely see that.
I get it. And I love that. And I'll tell you what, when I played Half-Life 2 with the audio commentary, epic experience. Yeah. Like, absolutely stunning experience. And I wish more games would do that.
Portal the same way.
Yeah, and I wish games would do that more.
I love playing Portal with the commentary.
However, let me experience it first, then let me get some extra insight.
Right.
And the problem that I have with him with what happened with Braid is not only did he let you have extra insight later, but as soon as you even deviated from his insight, he's like, no, it was about nuclear wastelands. It's like, what? No, shut up. I had something that I liked. Just let me have a valid thought too.
Jump in and get back again.
Yeah. Oh, don't you dare do that again. You know, it's like, wow, did you just triple snap me, Jonathan Blow? And you didn't even show me the game yet. So okay, digress.
I don't know. I think he's just trying to explain his process, which I can respect, but perhaps there's better ways to go about it.
Yeah.
That's my thought. Yeah. I don't know.
And who knows? I'll probably do the same stupid mistakes.
So Square Enix, we talked about them. They came, showed
up. Ubisoft and Watch Dogs. Now,
awesome!
Yes. Now, this was the first game that goes, okay, I see why I need a PS4 to play this game.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it until you talked about it, because I was like, Yeah, it looks pretty. What the crap?
Watch Dogs looks gorgeous. The problem, and this is a conversation we had, was that why do you need this? Well, from what it looks like a dynamically changing environment that's not scripted.
Yeah.
The people are moving on without you.
Yes.
Whether you affect them or not.
So you sit still and the entire game will do what it wants to do without you exist, without your interaction.
Yeah. The seamless one thing to another, like set piece to set piece to set piece, that was completely off the cuff.
Right.
Is like awesome and incredibly awesome idea.
Yeah.
Like, you got to think, like, in GTA, there are certain things that the city seems to be a living, breathing entity. Or at the same time, every time you do, like, you fire one shot, suddenly there's, like, 100 police cars around you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, whatever. Okay. Whereas this guy, he didn't plan on running into this victim who he needed to save.
Right.
He's just like, oh, that's a victim. Like, you just watch it. He's, like, walking along. Oh, I want to steal money from this guy. Why? Because I can.
Okay, wait. You know? Wait, rewind. Before, I loved this pitch because it was the pitch that Infamous should have used.
Oh, gosh.
Well, that was absolutely stunning how Watch the pitches Dogs were identical.
Was. Well, see, that's the thing. That's why we all thought Infamous pitch was
going to be Watch Dogs.
Because it's like the same idea of like security and cameras everywhere and all these crazy things.
Yeah.
And they showed up Watch Dogs at E3 as well. Mm-hmm. And there is like an entity behind all of those cameras that are watching.
Right.
So, like, if you knew previously what was going on, that's why you would think it was Watch Dogs, because that's what it was kind of about.
Yeah.
But the pitch was very similar. Like,
everything in my life is on this cell phone.
Everything's in my life in this, and everyone that's important to me is on this cell phone. Mm-hmm. I love that statement. But he's just like, cameras are everywhere. They can see you. You can use them. You can see them. They can see you, kind of thing. And then they're like, now let's watch this. It wasn't like, and you're this. You didn't know who this character was.
Superpowers.
You didn't know who this character was.
You still don't know who this guy is.
No. But all you know is he's got some pretty cool hacking superpowers. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, he there's actually some implied
superpowers. His phone apparently can do everything.
Yeah, because he walks up to an ATM, beep, bop, boop on his iPhone, and all of a sudden $700 pops out of the ATM. It's like,
whoa. That he stole from a pro-life lobbyist. No, like, really.
That's what it was.
Oh, was that what I
know? No, you go up and you can see the description of this guy, and he was a pro-life lobbyist.
I love the UI system on that, too.
Oh, that UI is
so minimal. It's a very minimal UI. They took a lot. The reason I bring up Dead Space, because
I was going to say
that's what it looks like. It looks like they used Dead Space's, stuff pops up behind his back
and
disappears. It's gone. Any information you need is popped up real fast and it's gone.
Well, and there's icons on top of people's heads like World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
But they totally, like, they totally make sense in this narrative. They totally make sense in this gameplay that you're like, oh, that doesn't look out of place because everything is so interconnected and he gets near someone and it says, this guy was a veteran and X War. And it's like, holy crap.
This girl used to be a child prodigy.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he walks up to someone and it says she has a 20% chance of being a victim, and you're like, and you don't question for a second until right now why? Yeah, but I never question who is deciding how much of a threat she has on her.
Yeah,
but you don't care because you're like, whoa, she's in danger. I better just make sure she's okay.
It's a subtle narrative device that says somebody is analyzing this.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know who yet. My head doesn't, like, your head is not processing this exactly because there's a more immediate concern.
You're right.
But at the same time, it's like, okay, there's something weird going on. I don't know what it is, but I, for some reason, know that this person's going to be in trouble in a second.
Yeah. And so he walks in and she goes in a back alley and a guy approaches her. And then all of a sudden it says, this guy, she has a restraining order out on this guy. And you're like, huh? And then her meter is just boiling and it gets red. And you're like, and he pulls a gun out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, snap, what do I do? And the guy pulls a gun out and he
faces him down and then he chases after him.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. Suddenly you're in a chase and you're running through this thing and it wasn't scripted. It wasn't planned.
No.
You run through this chase. Boom. You catch the guy. Awesome. Cops are coming. Oh, no.
Oh, the pylons.
The pylons.
Oh, the pylons.
I'm going to hook this pylon up. Bam. Oh, they're still shooting at me. Okay, running. I slowed down time and shot this one tire. Okay, you sped out. They're still shooting at me. There's an opening. I climb up this wall. Climb up the ladder, and there's a train in the way.
And I stop the train. Get on top of the train. Start the parkour.
What was funny is the parkour was a little distending of the belief. Like I believed everything else, and the fact that he was shooting and able to shoot and able to hack things so easily. But all of a sudden, he's like, "Wait a minute! He's also freaking parkour." well, specialist.
You gotta realize it's Ubisoft, and there's a lot of Assassin's Creed going on here.
Yeah.
It feels like a Chicago Assassin's Creed. Like, it really does.
Yeah, and a lot of people are like, Watchdog 2, Chicago Epic. Yeah. Like, for some reason, that was interesting that Chicago has never really been a background.
I was talking about, Chicago's a beautiful city. Okay. It's a very well organized city, which is something that, like, I come from LA, and LA is
not.
It's not. I mean, there's some parts that are a little cleaner, but a lot of it is just like, here's a borough that was put together. Here's another borough that was all put together. We have highways that are like, 100 million years old. And you're like, why are we still using this system? I don't know, because we just stacked another highway on top of this other one for the hell of it. Chicago is a very, I went downtown, it's very clean. I didn't spend a lot of time there. I was only there for a day. But I was just really impressed with how organized the city was. And in order to use that as a backdrop for a society, at least, from what we've seen in Watch Dogs, of control and, seeing everything that's going on, it has that feel of a, with a little, a little more polish and paint, Chicago could be a 1984 city. Yeah.
Very quickly. I'll give you that. Well, and there was just hints of this was the future.
Yeah.
The beginning of Infamous's pitch.
Oh.
Go back to that. He goes, in the near future. And I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
There's going to be a sucker punch. You Ubisoft crossover.
Oh, man.
It's going to be
Ubisoft. You guys need to call
Infamous Watchdogs.
The Infamous Watchdogs.
Oh, gosh.
Awesome. Anyway. So, all right. Blizzard gets up.
We talked about Blizzard. Yeah, we talked about Blizzard and Diablo.
Activision gets up and they go, hey, guess what? Destiny.
Did you know that Bungie works for us?
Yeah. I was like, did we mention this?
That's what I felt. I felt like Activision gets up and says, oh, by the way, did you realize that, we own Bungie?
Yeah.
I just wanted to tell you about that real fast.
Yeah.
There's the Bungie team that's going to come out and stand here. One guy's going to say stuff, and the other guys are there.
And the other guys are going to look like freaking cowed dogs.
I felt terrible.
So one guy off to the left, he was so far apart from all the others. He was the one in the odd jacket and the odd colored shirt.
But they all look frumpy like, Activision has destroyed any hopes and dreams.
No. I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay.
No.
Paint me a brighter vision.
But I think Bungie was a little locked down. I think that's why they left Microsoft initially. Mm-hmm. Is that, they didn't want to make Halo anymore. Sure, Destiny has some roots in that, obviously, because that's what their strength is.
Right.
Shooters. They wanted something bigger. They wanted something a little bigger, grander, cool, whatever. Given the opportunity to do that, it's awesome. I like the idea of Destiny, but this is not the Destiny podcast, this is Sony podcast, what we're talking about right now. But I think the idea of Destiny having it be a potential 10 year game.
Was that explicitly mentioned?
Yes.
It's been said several times.
Yeah.
That it would have
we're
a cycle
this
of
game
at least
10
years.
They had a release video earlier this week.
That was a release. Ken's burn screenshot of various concept art.
No, there was a video.
No, it was a video. Was there footage?
The
I didn't see the footage.
About it
I saw them talking, and then every now and then it went to a Ken's burn
image.
Oh, yeah,
no, there's definitely videos.
Oh, I didn't see the footage.
A lot
it wasn't
of footage.
So much about, gameplay and stuff, but they were talking about the game and answering questions.
Well, that's great. I could talk about the game that I've been working on for 8 years.
From what I've seen of the gameplay, it looks like a Halo MMO FPS.
I know, but I have a lot of skepticism, and that's a bias I have.
I'm just curious. I want to see what they do. I'm not a huge fan of Halo, honestly. Like, just as a personal choice, I respect the game, but it's just not my type of game.
Yeah.
I like shooters, but I don't ever like Halo.
Yeah.
Just me.
I just have a little skepticism on there from my biases of what I know about their development and my experiences. And I feel like they were running out of steam and they needed some extra money and that's when they partnered with Activision just recently. This is personal opinion.
But that's valid, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's not a bad business decision.
Yeah. Except when their deal for so long was, we don't want to be tied down to anyone. We have enough money. We can do it. And screw you all. We're doing our own thing. We're on our own time scale. Activision.
Well, but you got to think,
I feel like that's pretty lame.
You got to go bottom line sometimes and say, Activision has Blizzard for a reason. you know. Bungie has built up, maybe not quite as much social capital as Blizzard has, but at the same time, they're very well respected.
Yeah.
And if they wanted to pull out of this thing, there's plenty of other companies that would pick them up.
Yeah. But and, but at the same time, so why do they need anyone at this point?
Well, maybe money. They, you know, this is a big project. I mean, from the looks of it, it's a huge... The scope is gigantic.
It's not just with the consoles. It's going to be connected to all of your social devices, your phones, and your iPads. You're going to always be connected to this world.
Because of
that. Is what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
That's a big project.
I think... So,
this is a discussion for another day. Yeah. They show off...
They
show off a little bit of footage. I don't know. Was that new? Because I didn't see that previously when they announced it last
week. There was a couple of new things.
Yeah.
But so, not a ton.
But they talked and they're like, look at us, we're Activision, peace. And they walk off. And then
I felt so bad for the Bungie guys. Like, it's just, I made the comment.
Like big names. Like you had Marty O'Donnell out there and you had like all these big names of Bungie and no one said anything.
Felt like Activision's like, we just want you to know who's the freaking boss in this relationship. Bungie guys, why don't you come out here and shut your mouth.
I think that's...
Is that too much?
I think so. Okay. I think it was really more, we're Activision, we support the PS4.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
I think it was because you have these two companies, Sony and Activision, both going, we like this system.
Yeah. Okay.
We want to show this thing out. We want this to be successful because we're going to be on this system. So Activision, we're going to come and tell you, we're here. Okay. Expect a new Call of Duty.
Right. So then after all of this, I think it was president of Sony Entertainment. Was it Andrew House that got back on stage?
He was on a lot. I don't remember.
Yeah, he gets up on the very end.
I kind of like zoned out.
Yeah, by this time, I think most of us in the room were just like,
I felt bad for the guy a little bit because he's going to get a lot of flack because he talked a ton.
Andrew, which one?
House.
The House?
Yeah, he talked a lot. And I think the problem is, I think it was a little long-winded. It's
a lot of it was.
Unfortunately, this generation, especially for Sony, was the Kevin Butler generation.
Yeah,
Kevin Butler represented so much about the gaming culture and like the understanding of that marketing team. I don't know who was in charge of it. But the Kevin Butler character epitomized what gamers expect a cool VP to be.
Yeah,
you know this guy's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, not every person's like.
I'm going to file that under what was it?
Yeah, not a concern.
Not a concern.
The Uncharted.
Oh yeah.
But the thing is like that. You went, oh, that's a cool VP. Awesome. Yeah. That Sony, you nailed that character.
Yeah.
He's gone. Okay. Cool. But at the same time, you were able to say what you wanted to say in about 30 seconds.
Right.
I don't know if you were there. You watched the E3 when Kevin Butler came on stage during Jack Trenton.
You showed me that once. I remember.
No, if I showed you this. Jack Trenton was talking, and Kevin Butler comes on stage and takes the mic.
Yeah.
And he gives this whole rallying cry for gaming. You know,
and it's succinct.
It's such a great speech about like just the thrill of gamers. And obviously, he's not a VP of anything. He's a character. He's an actor who's playing a character.
Right.
Okay. But at the same time, knowing your audience to that point of saying, gamers don't want to hear the marketing speak. They don't want to hear all that jargon, and they don't care. You know, at the end of the day, most gamers really don't care what your hardware specs are, what any of that stuff is. They want to know, we have you in mind.
Yeah.
And your experience is going to be effing awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. We love games. You love games. We're going to give you some games that you love. Rock on.
Yeah.
You know, that's the bottom line. And so like all this stuff, because next few days we're going to hear about, you know, you're going to read on, there's no specs.
Yeah.
What are the specs going to be? And we're going to rumor about the specs until E3 when they finally release them or whatever.
And there was talk on this, just in the last couple hours that, after the show that someone goes, oh, wait a minute. They didn't show the box.
Yes.
I want to see the box. And someone said, any journalist that complains about the box in the next week is going to get chased out with torches and pitchfork because they explicitly didn't show you the box because the box is not important anymore.
No.
It's the sharing, it's the experience, you know, and that's a really cool thing.
What it looks like.
It's really cool. And I thought it was a really valid thing. And this was, I want to say it was Kevin Dent. So, he's a big producer at his own studio and he's like, no one's going to care. And if you complain about it, you are going to just totally get hammered. No one's going to care and they're not going to respect you for complaining about it. And I thought, ooh, that's really such an interesting change.
Yeah.
that the hardware is like, listen, it's got 8 gigs of RAM. It's going to handle it. You know, trust us. You know,
Well, that's the thing is that what they're trying to do, and I admire them for it, they're selling an experience.
Yeah.
You know, which is exactly what you have to do in every game ever. You're trying to share, you know, give a player an experience. And if they're approaching that with that angle in mind for all of their system, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I think that's exactly what a gaming company needs to do.
Yeah.
Now, it remains to be seen how successful they are with that.
Yeah.
Okay. But at the same time, starting with that mindset, I think they're on the right track.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's exciting. It really is. Like, right afterwards, I was talking to a friend at some dinner, and he's like, man, you're kind of bitter. And I was like, dang it. I feel a little cynical. And we did, you know, and we were all sitting there just laughing our heads off because there was one infographic of you can share your experience. And to visualize that, they have a guy sitting on a couch and then a guy like in the creepiest, like semi squatting position over his shoulder. And it's like, I do not want to imagine someone over my shoulder like that, experiencing what I'm experiencing, because that is just Creeperville, you know, country.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we were definitely really cynical, but just giving it a couple hours, venting about it, and then talking about this, like, okay, I think I am really excited. And, you know, I'll tell you one thing. This is not a critique negatively, but I think there's some emulation of what Nintendo's is wanting to do with the Wii U and the tablet for the Wii U. Mm. And with the Vita and it feels like there's an attempt at asynchronous play.
Yeah.
It's gonna take some different, not directions, but different modes of execution. And I'm really excited. And I hope both of them, and I can't wait to see Microsoft, because I'm almost positive by now, if these two do it, I'm almost positive Microsoft's, and they've been hinting at the tablet,
the Surface,
the phone, all integrated with the Xbox. And the fact that you can use Android with an Xbox device or iPad with an Xbox device is like, you know, suck you guys. We're using your hardware for what we need and we can do it. And I think they're going to try to pull that thing without having to get a Vita or having to get a Wii U tablet. And I think that asynchronous play and that co-op play is going to be the next stop.
I'm excited for the way that gaming is going.
Yeah.
I was cynical. Because, I mean, your first instinct, and this is, it's very interesting as a gamer, is to make fun of things.
Okay? Why is that? What's wrong with us?
Well, it's not what's wrong. It's just what we are. It's our culture.
Yeah.
You know, we're the guys who invented teabagging. You know? I killed you! Let me sit on your face! You know? Why? Because I can. Okay? We're that culture. But because of that, I think we get into a really negative place a lot of times where nothing ever measures up to what we want.
Yeah.
Okay. At the same time, we need to sit back and look at it and say, hey, you know what? There's a world of possibilities.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that we haven't even thought of. You know, we don't always want the same thing over and over again. We want to see something different, something new, something unique.
Uh-huh.
And in order to get there, we're going to see things that look a little strange.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there was the same thing when the Kinect came out. It's still, I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But I love that it exists.
Yeah.
Okay? I love that it was an attempt. Let's try it. It didn't work at all. Okay, well.
You know what?
Worth a shot.
you know how many peripherals there are since NES?
Can you imagine, I mean, the idea of a plastic guitar. You know,
being successful.
Who's ever going to play around on a plastic guitar? Apparently, a lot of people are going to play around on a plastic guitar.
Yeah.
Who knew? You know, all these different things are coming up. And so I'm really excited for the future.
Yeah.
So that's me.
All right. So let's wrap this up. Ash, do you have any final comments? Or are you just going to hug your hamster?
I'm about ready to go to bed.
I figured. We should all go to bed. So thanks for listening. Confessions of a Game Dev podcast.
Yes, listen, we know it was a little long. Apologize.
Hey, so since technically we split up last podcast, even though it was like crazy long, that was like episode 19 and or 18 and 19. So this is episode 20. Yeah, and it's exciting. We've been seeing a lot of people actually following us, and we love to hear what you guys say.
Yeah.
The undergrads that we totally destroyed last week. We saw them yesterday.
That you took the feedback.
Yeah, and we saw them last week, and they.
We saw them the other day. They just came in here yesterday.
Yeah, it was yesterday, and Attraction came back, and oh my gosh, they gave us levels that were in a week were just drop dead gorgeous. Yeah, and I was like, you guys, you did it. And it wasn't, you listened to exactly what I said because I was right. It was, you took it in consideration, you went back to the drawing board, and you did it again, and good job. And yeah. And finally, humorously, one of them was like, so are you guys going to talk about Metal Gear for like another 15 minutes? Because that was dumb. And I was like, ouch!
Funny enough, Andrew, we didn't bring up Metal Gear
again. Yeah, we kind of did.
Sorry about that. But not, it was a brief example.
It was 2 minutes.
Drew wasn't
and,
here.
And someone else mentioned that you can compare any game to Arkham Asylum.
Well, hey, that's my golden standard. If you can find a game that's better than that for me, then awesome.
Yeah, well, apparently Dead Space was...
I'm really excited for Metal Gear Rising.
Yes.
That was cool.
Which looks like came out.
Slice people up with
fortunately, I've coined the new term, copyright Spencer Buchanan 2013, pulling a Colonial Marine, because they didn't, and their Metacritic I saw out today was like 85. Which
not too bad.
Not too bad at all, so congrats to them. And
it'll be fun to...
yeah, I'm can't wait to pull one. It out.
But anyway, we're running long.
Yes.
We love to get new... followers and stuff, how can they get hold of us?
Contact us at GameDevConfess on Twitter, Facebook.com/GameDevConfess. Email us, GameDevConfess@gmail.com.
Rock on.
Ash reminded me. I almost forgot at the end there. She knows. She keeps that stuff.
I have mind powers.
Yes, thank you. Whoa. We're moving
on. Simple minds.
that's two karate. That's two.
As long as they don't strike out during the podcast, I'm good.
You got about 30 seconds, because good man, this is, we got to wrap this up.
All right.
Thanks for listening. Have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.